All right, everybody ready? Call this special meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Fenwood? Mrs. Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mrs. Power?
Here.
Mr. Solak?
Here.
Mr. Andre?
Here. Bob, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first up, review the recommendation.
We have a working agenda for this evening that is really just a collection of suggestions that the Finance Committee put together at its last meeting on March 7th. Not intended to be confined, but really offer direction for your discussion. We are planning to conclude this evening's meeting by 9 o'clock, unless you choose at that time that you feel you want to go further, but remembering that you do have April 11th in your discussion. I also think we wanted to make it clear this evening that the facilities recommendation that the Finance Committee made is now in the hands of the full board, and that from this point forward, the full board will have conversations about facilities. Okay? So, Bob, do you want to go ahead and get us started?
Well, the first thing we thought we should do, because we just had the presentation of the PowerPoint and the report, we didn't go into too much discussion when we were at Lincoln, is just to, maybe we can, if we want, we can run through this or just ask, were there any questions that you had after reviewing the materials, or maybe questions, you know, that we had at the meeting, but, you know, we didn't want to prolong the meeting, so is there anything we need to discuss about the recommendations, you know, before we move on to the other items of discussion? I mean, if no one has any issues or anything like that.
We could really move this into the next 2 and 3.
We could just keep the recommendation page up on short and term, long-term recommendations, maybe? Close.
It's a quick show. All right. So, at the last facilities meeting, we were just going and talking about, all right, what should our next steps be? So, I guess the first discussion point is the question of Spalding and whether the board thinks it's a viable solution for the K-5. Obviously, you know, the Finance and Facilities Committee had multiple options. This was one of them because we didn't want to eliminate it, so but the whole board can certainly do so. So I guess that's the question on the floor, is how does everybody feel about Spalding?
Well, I would like to hear from the people because I have some pictures. I've never felt there's an option that we should build on. So I think for me it would be helpful to hear what the pros were to it outside of we already own it.
Well, that's a decent pro. I think, I mean, the test fits that we've got pictures of, I'm sure everyone's seen them. I think, for me, I look at that plot and I was pleasantly surprised with what you could fit on there without assuming you get any other land, even the Park District land. And then there was an option with the Park District land basically for the playground, which is probably the most likely option for that part of it. So without even getting any of the surrounding, you know, residences, you know, assuming we're not going to go after that or even try to acquire them through non-eminent means, you wind up with a school that's like 75,000 square feet. You know, it'd be almost one of our smallest footprints, I mean, smallest parcels of land, yet we have, I think, a school that's 20-some thousand more square feet in it than our largest school, if I remember the numbers right. You've got them in front of you here. I mean, it's just because we're going up two stories, it's such a efficient design that I didn't think of, I think it's something that's viable, and then when you throw in the cost savings of property acquisition, you know, it makes it more attractive. And then also, you know, if you just look at a map of the district, I just see that northeast area, you know, we don't have anything there. And I could see that area being incorporated, you know, in the village, and there being sidewalks and all that stuff in the next few years, and or next 10, 15 years, I'd imagine. So it just seems like a spot we don't have anything, don't have a quote-unquote neighborhood school there. So that's kind of the advantages I saw there.
We don't have a matrix that shows with a larger land parcel like we do for the small land. We have, you know, to be able to do that.
Oh, no, but the size school that we've got on Spalding is the same size you would build on a large parcel, but on a large parcel you might add CSO or a, you know, a pre-K center or something
pre-K.
Like that.
And or if it was determined to do a junior high, you know, and we did not do a sketch or a drawing of a junior high.
I mean, you assume that the large parcel is going to be more than adequate to, you know, it's going to be more adequate than the Spalding facility would be as far as green space and things like that. I mean, that's the downside of Spalding, is you obviously don't have as big a green space as you would at a large parcel.
Where does the green space at Spalding then fit the acreage? Like, if you're outside of the building.
Comparing to our other buildings?
I don't know if we have that data in there. You can probably just do subtraction.
Wait, what was that
question? The question is, how much green space do you have? And I think, I don't know, do we have parking lot square footage? Yeah, we do. I don't think there's an adder or a roll up of how much green space
there is.
They're
both about the same size.
The playground area, soft playground area. This looks like, I can't remember that.
Well, compared to Forest Glen.
They're similar. I mean, they're similar sizes, but with the school, you know, the square footage that it takes away from the...
Well, also, you have considerable...
It's a little bit more than what's currently at Forest Glen. It says 9,800. If you look down...
For playground
this
area.
Playground area. Is that what you were looking... Kind of soft, the green...
Right.
Green
is that
space
what the
would,
soft is the definition of green space?
What page are you
guys? Are you just talking about what's the area minus
one,
what
page? One of 24.
Okay.
Also, this building site has considerable on-site parking, almost 120 spaces, but we don't have any over at Forest Glen.
Okay. So the parking space would be...
Takes a big chunk out of the northwest corner, I think, is where they proposed to put it.
Because you've got a building that's two stories, though, your actual footprint, I think, is a little smaller
right.
than
I think
it is.
The footprint was 50-some thousand. I don't know why that number's sticking in my head.
Well, Forest Glen square foot, this is from data from 2002, the Blue Ribbon Committee that I got from Secretary of State 4 years ago. So it's 50,074 square feet, 6 acres, and at the time had 2 temporary classrooms.
Oh, here it
which
is.
Which took up some of the green space.
They've got the first floor area pegged at 45,560 for Forest Glen versus about 48,000.
So it's about 2,700 square feet larger than Forest Glen footprint wise. But you get whatever, 20,000. About 20,000 more square feet because of the stack.
And it uses a little bit more of the total footprint, of the total lot.
Yeah, that percentage calculation there. It's the most covered of all our elementary.
On the same page that Terry is in terms of seeing this as a as kind of our least favored, bless you, least favored for me ideas
which,
or recommendations.
Which
Spalding.
Just John Spalding in general.
Option D1 ground level plan. It's toward the middle of the book, middle end.
In part because when we look at the test fit on the site, it's very tight. I'm picturing 600 children, coming out for a fire drill. I'm picturing, you know, when I drive by any of the schools during our schools during recess. There's a finite amount of space, even in those places, it's much less here. I drove by Longfellow School in Wheaton that was built about 7 years ago, I think it was. They none of the kids were playing in this little detention area because it was 8 months. And so,
that's a school of 350,
I think. Yeah, and it's a smaller school. You know, they were all up on the, kind of lined up, standing there. So I just feel like this is a constricted space. I guess in my mind I'm seeing this as a last resort, and I don't mean that in that it wouldn't fulfill a need. It would. But as I think about a master facility plan and where this all started to 2007-8 with the visioning and then 9 with the master facility planning committee, the vision of this was further out than in some ways going, I think, is backwards to a site that held a school that is, I think, a response to a need to put kids in a space, but not necessarily to a larger facility plan and an educational program. But certainly the school will be current, up-to-date, architecturally, I mean, all those things different from what was on there. But I just see this as being so landlocked and us potentially growing out of it relatively quickly. I don't know what the rule of thumb is, Barron's in facilities and construction, and his rule of thumb when he's done purchases or build-outs is at the moment you move in, you're at 85% capacity already. So that's a concern. But I don't deny that it's land we own, those dollars, some costs already, we have it. And certainly the facility itself would be built to a state-of-the-art dimension, which is all positive. I just don't see this as a long-term decision or recommendation.
Tara, to kind of answer your question from the finances, I think we were comfortable eliminating that. If it were going to be eliminated, it would be it should be eliminated from a decision. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, and I respect that because I feel like truthfully that this process was sort of taken from the board and given to finance by a very slim margin. So I appreciate you guys coming forward with something that is a little bit more for all of us to discuss. I just feel I appreciate the value that we already own this piece of land and it's been sitting there, so what do you do with it? But I also look at it from a historical perspective that it's located in the area of town, and despite our desire for that area to, you know, maybe see a turnover, more families moving in there, I just don't see it really as the neighborhood school that members of this community seem to believe that our other schools are neighborhood schools, because this is a site where everyone has to be bused, including, I would ask from a safety perspective, until the village sees fit to put sidewalks in, every child would have to be bused.
Eligible.
But, I mean, we're in business to kids and safety, mm-hmm. So these children would be on a bus because that's the safest way for them to get to school. And then when I think about the cost perspective, the cost of already owning this piece of land to now shipping, busing every single child there, even those that, you know, conceivably could walk, you know, you're eating up a lot of those cost savings. While obviously not year one, two, or three, but that's...
Yeah, but those kids are bused right now.
They are, but you're busing more. You're busing, you're just changing your direction.
I guess it all depends on if your boundaries pick up kids who would otherwise walk to school.
Well, you would be busing kids who live there who should be able to walk. I mean, that's sort of that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You're busing those kids now.
No, I understand. We're busing them to a different location. But when we talk neighborhood school,
what's the question that's being asked here?
Oh, because the original question was, who is in favor of Spalding and would people speak to?
I didn't know if you guys were just talking about option one Spalding or all of Spalding.
Just generally.
And we had the original recommendation was C1 for the test fit. C1, I believe. D1. I'm sorry, D1.
What page is that?
It's one on page 12.
It's just start on 110.
And this is a two-story or one-story?
Two-story.
And the other option, if you get a hold of the parkland, is basically the exact same layout, only the orange blocks, which are the playgrounds, would move to where those park district playgrounds are right now. I think that's D2.
I thought I saw an option though where you could see three stories.
Huh? What's that?
There
is a three-story option in there, John. But
isn't page 17, is that the three-story?
Yeah, I think so. There is a three-story option in here.
Because that one seems to have a lot more land, the center playground or whatever. So
the problem with a three-story is your limitation for housing your primary age students, because you still are going to have that big, large footprint on the first floor, because you're going to have K and 1 on the first floor. So then 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 can go up, but you can't put one and K and 1 on the second floor. So you discussed whether or not that was really...
So you're saying, because this could be a very good point here, you're saying that regardless of whether it's 1, 2, or 3 stories, the footprint on the first floor is the same no matter what?
Basically the same. I mean, I don't have it in front of me right now, so I can't say whether or not it goes beyond 2.
It's
okay,
very
one.
Similar, because all you can shift to the third floor is grade level classrooms, not any common space. So you still need the common space on that first, the common areas on the first floor, plus the primary grade level classrooms. So you can only put maybe 5th grade or 4th and 5th grade and 3rd grade, you know, so then you're possibly splitting grade levels too, you know, because it's...
Well, and then if your teams are 1 year, you have 5 fourth grade and 3 third grade, you potentially divide them again between two floors where you have more flexibility if you're on two floors.
And I see early childhood in each one of these. Mm-hmm. Do you have to have early childhood at each school?
Do not have to have early childhood at each school. We did talk about if we were going to build a new school that, at least initially, that would be part of the recommendation to have pre-K classrooms.
Because there are two classrooms dedicated to early childhood classrooms, right?
Which would be four sessions.
Mm-hmm. Part of the constriction that I wonder about, too, is if, as we've had in our other schools, we have some shifts in sections where we have 5 sections, 4 sections, you alluded to this a little bit, and if the numbers of children in that area, increases, the way the site is laid out, there is no option but to switch boundaries again to shift down. You know, this is, I guess I see this as constricted in a couple different ways. One is certainly the physical application of it, and the other one is if we go to 650, 660, 670, where do those kids go? Mm-hmm. And then do we get into portables again? And I hate to even bring that up, but, once we reach that boundary, part of the goal would be that we can level set that and maintain that and some continuity over time. I'm what-ifing, but I think we need to keep that in mind, because we've had that very same thing happen at the other schools.
You naturally think of those boundary shifts, and giving ourselves some flexibility in any of our buildings, and I struggle with, not only does this limit the flexibility of this building, it, like Erica said, we go back to leapfrogging, puddle jumping kids over schools that are closer to them because a different school has room. And I, you know, I realize that's where the flexibility of it comes in, but there's no flexibility in this space. And if we're sitting here saying we're seeing maybe the most growth at this end of town initially, we've now just landlocked another school without the flexibility to meet the needs of the kids in, that are in that area.
I guess I don't understand what you're talking about. Is Forest Glen is still going to be the same way, right? What about this?
What do you mean?
Yeah, but you wouldn't build Forest Glen from scratch right now.
I'm just trying to understand. You're talking about if the schools grow and this one is landlocked. I mean, what if Forest built this and Forest Glen grows? Or what if, or if it's not this? I guess I don't understand.
Well, I'm anecdotally thinking about our portables and how kids are from. Let's say the kids that are bused from. This side of the tracks, you know, Forest Glen Churchill side of the tracks, but yet they are bussed over to where Lincoln and Ben Franklin are. Okay, so theoretically speaking, that some of that occurred historically, Dan, because Forest Glen became too big, and so they moved a big section off of 53. I'm just using this as an example, but a section off 53 now goes to Ben Franklin. They essentially bypassed Forest Glen to go to Ben Franklin. So now you're shifting again. Now you still probably haven't necessarily alleviated your portables at Lincoln. You might at Ben Franklin, but probably not. And now you're going to move these kids to this side, keep them on this side of the town. And I'm just trying to visualize if we're projecting, Bob had said, you know, projecting more growth at this end of town. You just built a school that's so landlocked that you know there's barely even a place if you had to put portables again. You couldn't put those portables, so you're back to having the same groups of kids leapfrogging the schools that they're next to. They go by to go to a school on the other side of town.
That just seems like a strategy for drawing the boundaries that the schools draw from. I mean, we have what we have right now, but in theory, if you build this school or some other school, it would. Some shifting of those anyway.
All boundaries, most
all
likely.
All boundaries shift, and so I'm thinking in my head, theoretically, logically, what would it look like? And I remember when the boundary committee did it, and the first time, that was one of the things that they had talked about was kind of moving kids back to where they started from. And I remember the parents at Lincoln were so horrified and outraged that there would be any switch. Well, in their boundaries because of the way even just moving lines from Park to Main Street was a big deal. So I just
that's one of the pieces we don't have in any of this is what would we didn't do any geocoding or anything like that to figure out, all right, how would you populate four sections at this school and what would boundaries look like, and it might be a worthwhile next step to look at what potential boundaries might be with the Spalding site. And also keep in mind, I don't think this isn't the only thing that you do to get rid of portables.
Right.
It's just build this school.
Right.
You probably also have to build either at Lincoln or Franklin because of the south end, because I'm just picturing the railroad tracks as the dividing line.
Right.
And so you're still going to have, you've got how many portables? 6 at Lincoln and 4 at Franklin. So... you can't move. You can move some of those because Lincoln and Franklin get some kids bus. I don't know how many that is. I think it's only one bus load at Lincoln. Mm-hmm. How many kids are north of the tracks? That's not 10 classrooms worth. So there's still going to need to be some building. If you're unwilling to move kids across the tracks to the north, you're probably looking at some kind of construction on the south side of town.
Well, and wanting to keep up, probably when you're looking at your boundaries, I think there was some consensus around keeping the building sizes similar.
Right.
So you might find that you're adding to Churchill and to Forest Glen even once you shift your boundaries, and if you decide you're not going to have Forest Glen as a 400.
Right.
So guys, I joined the conversation late, but if the question is this option off the table?
The question is whether you want to. We should keep it going forward.
I mean, I don't see how you take it off the table. It's not the most desirable solution, but I don't see how you take it off just because it's land that we have. And I know there's some concerns about, you know, maybe growing, but there are 10 lots across the street that, as they become available, you could buy one or two and, you know, grow that way if you needed to. I mean, I don't know how you just take it off the table, I guess, would be. Just because it's the only piece of land we have. Like, the other options, we might go look for a large parcel and not find any and go, okay, we're back to here, right?
So. Right. Well, I think the point that Dan brought up, though, speaks to, again, this: if this is a master facility planning conversation, then part of, we get tactical really quickly and we do a lot of solutioning right away. And I think what I'd like to see us also talk about this is this long term. And if we're committed to improving the school district long term, I don't disagree that this is certainly a choice. My comment right before you came in, John, was this is the least of the conversation for me. I do understand what you're saying about how you can't, in some ways you can't take it off the table because we have the land. I would like this not to be primary conversation. I'd like to see us have that long-term conversation with this other large parcel discussion, because part of what we reported in our the three options was that we build on Spalding and then expand and renovate existing schools that just found. So you're right. There's a domino effect to everything else. And we also talked about the fact that was the most disruptive of the three options in terms of trying to see if there was a large parcel and then you build and populate. So it's a cleaner shift.
Well, I think what you decided was building new. Right. Whatever parcel of land you have is a better solution than building on existing sites and the disruption that would be caused, right, and the additional expense that would be caused.
Right, it's a better value.
Yeah.
And you get,
which is what brings us to.
So I think we said the same thing.
Yeah, I do what you're saying, I'd like to really vet that whole discussion around larger parcels and what that means as a visionary, kind of more of a visionary discussion, moving us out further.
I think there's a concept here. What I mean is long term for master facilities. This is not what we would consider a long term strategy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but that's my feeling about this.
But it is. It could be an option.
In the absence of other options.
The goal is to reduce the population.
So I guess the question really may be stated a little differently. How do you feel, board members, about Spalding being a lesser desirable option, but in the absence of other parcels, it stays on the table? But maybe the question is really the second question. Is there a consensus that it is not the most desirable option, and do you then, as a result of it not being the most desirable option, wish to pursue other possibilities through looking at land acquisition?
It depends what the next step is, right?
But I think that's what's the question. Is there anybody among you who says, you know, really, I just think we ought to be talking about Spalding and not talking about anything else?
That's a pretty easy decision, I think.
I don't know. I think the Finance Committee said all of those options, but I don't know that we heard from everybody.
So we can answer that and move on, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's viable, but you haven't ranked it. I mean, it's better than portables for 20, 30 years, yeah, but you don't have anything to compare it to except this unknown. Mm-hmm. And right now, if you just say, well, if you find a large parcel, we can build new, that sets up better boundaries or has other long-range implications once we get demographic studies, then yeah. But you have to have something to compare it to. Right now, all we're comparing it to is portables. But get architects, I'm sure they could show us a school on 2 acres. I mean, if we asked them to do it, here's the school I built. So no matter what, we have a viable school. No matter what FGM was told to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, Steve, I guess I'm thinking the question is there anybody here who sees this as the only option for us to be discussing? Because I think that's, I can live with that this is the least desirable option on the table for us, but I understand why we don't take it off the table. But if there's somebody who believes this is the only thing we should be pursuing, we need to know that so we can have that discussion.
Yeah, that's true.
So, is there anyone that feels that way?
I think it's still on the table, but certainly one of the least desirable.
You know, I remember an early meeting we had about facilities. And I remember we were told that the most kids that you could put on that site was 450. And now we've gone up to 600. Even if we do 600, we don't eliminate all the portables. We don't affect issues at the junior high. I think because it doesn't really resolve all the issues, I think it probably is the least desirable.
And you eventually still have to have a referendum passed that builds a new school for a fifth of the district.
Well, that's a whole other topic, because this would be a much harder... it depends. It might be a much harder sell from a perspective of you get the new school, blah, blah, blah. It might be a much easier sell in terms of cost.
Right.
So, again, that's got pluses and minuses. Mm-hmm. But I will, for the record, state that Jack Kaler told me that this site was big enough to get rid of all the portables and house the kids that we wanted. I just want to make sure that that's
what I'm not sure with it.
Well, if we added another section or two, throw two more classrooms on the end of that, that might be the case. But
what if eliminated in your house?
I'm just telling you, building, right?
Maybe
700
in the portables. Is that what you said?
No.
I mean, excluding.
No, we settled on what a 4-section is being generally what we were shooting for.
Was it rather being 600?
Well, in 600, I mean, we would, I think early in our discussion said 600 is a lot to put on this site. But we gave FGM the direction to build a school big enough for that number of students. And the reduction of portables is not relative to the total number of students in portables, but once you do boundary, you're still going to have to do some adjustments to other schools, which you can't take. In order to get the portables out of those other schools, you'd have to do adjustments to those schools as well.
And even though, you know, we've used this number of 600, that, you know, 600 on the site or whatever.
34 sections.
Well, I just feel like that, even to say 600, we've often heard that that's too many kids, that the school's too big. Now, while I don't know if I, you know, that it seems to be a comment that we've heard a number of times.
I thought we heard that 600 was about where you go with a K through 5.
Well, we have three buildings at over 600, and, you know, we've heard a lot of that's so big, it shouldn't be that big. Now, I realize, I mean, if we build it, they will come, and it's going to be as big as it's going to be, but I just, you know, we don't want to be shooting for that number. Yes, it can have that many, but is that really what we want?
Well, does the 600 include the early childhood?
It would, yes. Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, we have, 600 in Lincoln, right? 590.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that, I mean, it's not the classroom space, it's all the other space.
Of course.
Whereas here, you know, when you're building for 600, you're going to have a gym that I think is as big as Churchill's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're going to have the right size cafeteria, you know, the right size, you know, art and music and you know,
number of washrooms.
So we can probably move on from this discussion because it sounds like we're solutioning at this point, right? On the spot.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, Bob. I think, you know, building something new is going to take into account that the needs that we realize are really important, and that's that core space, which is where we're really stretched.
And I think a building built for 600 is pretty standard now in elementary schools from an efficiency standpoint, as opposed to, you know, you can house fewer students in them, but I think it's pretty typical to build a school of 600 in order to anticipate growth and be prepared.
So what we're saying is least favored needs to still sit on the table because of the fact that we own the space, and all things being equal, if nothing else came to fruition, we could go back to this and say, here's a solution in addition to the renovation.
Yeah. You don't have another solution right now.
Right. Yeah. It's
the only solution. So.
I mean, I would say least favored from a space standpoint.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to see all the other, like Steve said, what are you comparing it to?
Right.
Questions to figure out whether I like it better or worse than a large parcel.
Okay, well then, are you ready to move on to the discussion of a larger parcel of land and for your consideration that would house pre-K through 5 or potential junior high?
Yes.
And those are probably two... You know, almost three different discussions. First of all, purchase of a large parcel, what would be of interest in finding, you know, what's the size? And then elementary versus junior high. Those are probably two different discussions, whether it would be an elementary or a junior high.
It may all depend on the location, too.
It may. So 11 acres is industry recommended for an elementary school, 18 acres recommended for a junior high.
I thought it was 30 or something like that.
Oh, is it 30?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I think it was
like 70 acres.
78.
Right. Still there.
I get it.
Well,
so
we're not going to go look at parcels, right?
Yes, right.
Say go find a parcel, right?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. So. Are what we're discussing here, Ann, is what should our next steps be around large parcels?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to pursue an examination, a search?
How big is Hadley? Is 13 acres?
11.
Yeah.
Is it 13?
I thought it was 13.
13.
And
Hadley?
Hadley is...
And we don't use...
How many acres?
17 acres.
Yeah.
As of 2002.
17 acres.
So
137,280
square feet.
What is
that?
Yeah, I thought it was
13.
Second and third
floors. Sorry, it was 13.
Is that square footage of floor space?
Yeah.
Yeah.
137.
So that includes
11.63 is what it's listed in here for Hadley. If I can see that.
No, that's the only
13.27.
This sounds like everyday math, guys.
Well, we were estimating. It's a valid.
So I think my 13 acres was correct.
Yes, you are correct.
So
we'll give it to you. We'll give that to you, sir.
So I'm just going to throw a starting point, but I think anywhere from 10 to 15 acres would be fine.
Well, are we talking about a middle school or an elementary school? That's the thing. I think what we need to do is find out what large parcels are out there. Or what sizes are even available or possible in our district?
Well, and what criteria?
I think we got to give some criteria, right?
Okay.
It's 50 acres. We don't mean.
So are we talking? Well, what was Spalding plus the Park District was what, 7?
Mm-hmm.
So over 7 is a good 7 is a good minimum,
starting
right?
Point.
8 to 15.
Yeah. Or 8 plus. Why stop
8
at 15?
Yeah, I mean 20 acres would be great. 25, do you have it?
So 8 plus.
8 plus acres. You've talked about the criteria around land that is currently being taxed, you know, taking tax land off the tax rolls.
Yes.
Or
so
land
do we not want to look at parcels that are actively
well,
significant tax income?
Tax Well, you're not going to like tear down the central business district.
You'd have to do an analysis of how much loss of revenue in that taxing. You know, that's a be a relative discussion.
We'll leave the Glen Arc Theater up. That'll be our requirement.
But I was looking at that map, and there's not a whole lot that jumps out at you. Is that parcel?
We all know where it is, right?
I'm just looking at large parcels in general. There's that one next to Menards that I don't know what's a bunch of grass.
Right.
I don't know what. Mm-hmm. There's that
on North lot.
Dan had a really good question. How big do you think Glen Oak is? Happy Glen Oak.
I'm just trying to size 38.
Oh, Glen Oak Country Club?
Oh. Yeah. Just as a frame of reference.
I don't think they'll sell it to us.
I would say that's probably at least 100 acres.
Never thought about that.
Take that at 27 price score.
That is they do pay property taxes.
Yeah. I know, I'm just
from a visual.
For those of us who are visual learners, I was just curious as to how big of a space that is.
But I don't think we're gonna go through here try to say go look at this and that, right? Should we have a real estate agent go out and find out?
Yeah, but we're not looking for just what's available, though. I'm wondering what is even possible. You know, assuming you're not going to piece together a bunch of homes or the central business district.
No, I would agree, right?
What's
come
out
back
there?
With what? Where is there 8 acres of chunks of land?
Right.
What do you see, Dan?
I'm just trying to. Hadley's 13 acres. I'm just trying to.
Engineering mind.
Yeah.
I guess I would ask you to consider going back to that standard of 8+ acres, because if the best you could find would be 8+ acres,
wouldn't you just say
it's Spalding?
Yeah. Well, I would choose bigger than the 8+. I would want to start higher than that because
I think I'd like to know.
It's not worth
it. Because the other thing is it might be in a better location. If 8+, if it's 8, but it happens to be in some magical spot where we say, oh, yeah, that's the spot. That's better than Spalding. Would you want
to
discount it?
To me, that presumes that you would build a K5.
If it's that small.
Well, but you have to know.
I know what you're saying, but I think, Ann brought up the comment about, shouldn't you be looking? If it's 8, we already have that. Why would you look for anything?
But we don't have 8. We have 4.5. That's almost twice as big.
Yeah, I don't know why we include the Park District land. It's
unbuildable. We have 4.5 acres. So
we don't own it.
And we could go 3 stories. Yeah. So
Does it make sense to put a committee and the board together to look for property?
I think you would charge us to either hire a real estate agent or start driving around the community, but probably we'd want to.
Bob with his radio, I can see it. I got it. Everybody.
Let's empower Bob to bring a parcel for next week. Yeah.
For next week?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a pretty short turnaround time.
I don't
can I ask a logistics question? Hadley is right on the line in Wheaton. So what's the requirement to have district property as we border some other communities and have a half and half? Or
has to be in our boundary.
It's got to be in our boundaries, has right?
Actually, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
You could have it build a school in another school district. Obviously you wouldn't want to go too far.
I thought if we did that, we had to go through some different legal structure or partnership the last time we studied that.
I'm not aware of that parameter that we can build in another school district.
I thought if we did, because we had talked about a property once, I won't get into it, but we had talked about a property and it was outside of our boundary and it required that we have someone else build it and we lease it from there was some sort of structure that we had to put in place.
Legal structure?
If it was contiguous, you could, in theory, I suppose.
Well, the difference between being in our district
That, well, that,
but we're not just
that is a big go through the ROE, which would be to annex those homes
I remember
that
it as
area
being an issue
contiguous
last night.
Into mm-hmm. our school district.
No,
typically, that doesn't
I,
go very well because that's giving up tax dollars to that school district. That we recently done.
Yes,
so when you're having these associated district meetings with the other assistant supes, right? Is there ever any conversation around opportunities that they have to build or any conversations around that? You know, in our, again, contiguous district where we're pulling from that way? I mean, are you aware of any?
Not that I'm aware of. And there hasn't been much conversation, at least in our area here,
yep.
regarding building. But there's simply not a lot going on.
Because it's light.
A partial by Menards?
No, someone else.
To the west,
well, I just
to the west
I was just looking on there and looking, and I know there's nothing west of Menards, and I don't know what that even is.
That is there is plans. There's been a developer trying to put in townhomes.
Yeah.
For a number of years.
Yeah.
It's an extension of the. It might be like a phase of the current townhomes that are west of there. They wanted to fill it in with more townhomes, and Glendale Heights has been. They've gone before Glendale Heights on numerous occasions to get approval for it, and it's been gone back, and then the economy has.
Right.
So there's a parcel there, but it's been a developer owns it.
Is there still is there a sign on that property that says how many acres it is? I'm trying to remember.
I haven't driven by there to see it, but we have.
We were just contacted by a developer looking, well, in an unrelated matter, looking for us to consider waiving fees. Piece of parcel of property that they're planning for 35 homes on. The quarters up against North Avenue, or right around North Avenue.
Yeah, there would be.
Is that the same piece of property?
It's Sunrise. It's unincorporated. And
it's unincorporated.
But it's in the Spalding area. It's over there in that area where they bought up a lot of homes and they've actually bulldozed the homes.
Yeah.
They were
right.
renting them out and things like that. And he's now put together all the lots. You know, so again, as the builder already has gotten, developers gone in there and done the first option or bought properies, and now we get.
It's west of Menards.
No, it's over by Spalding. How close is it to Spalding?
This would be like south of Kai's. You know, if you took.
Here, you know what?
Right in here, right here.
Can you? Do we have a copy of the map that's electronic to put on the flash drive and pull up here?
But I mean, are we really going to look at?
Well, you just bring up a computer with Google.
I mean, are we going to really look through this? And I mean, let's just bring up hire someone to go find. Let's give them the criteria.
Right. Yeah. So
the
criteria.
Then.
But what you're saying is, I guess if you set the bar at 10 or 11 acres, then you're eliminating potential elementary sites, right?
I think you've got to.
Well, you know, if you went with the ISB guidelines, but none of our schools meet.
None of our schools are 11 acres.
No, but I'm saying is if you end up with a parcel that's less than 11 acres or less than 13, which is optimal for a middle school, you're not building a middle school.
I mean, I'm going to guess this is all academic, and we're talking about it's going to be a list of four potential properties or six.
Right.
You know, whether you set the bar at 8 or 11, you're probably only eliminating one or two locations.
So I say you set it at 8, at least.
And then, you know, the list we get will have the acreage next to it, and then we can.
And we'd want to know what kind of property, what's on the property.
Yeah, what's on it.
And we don't care if it's for sale or not. Is that correct?
No, I don't think anything's going to be for sale that large, right?
So then could you get a list of
continuous pieces?
So
could you set the criteria of you'd like the property to be versus like 20, 40 acres? I mean, is that...
Oh.
Well, say that again, Dan.
I'm trying to think of like a criteria where you... property owners. So.
It's going to be really, I think, dependent upon what's going on each parcel. Because, you know, you mean you don't want to add parcels together where some of them might be homes and some of them aren't.
I was thinking, in order to shrink the pool of properties, you're looking at, you said, you know, this size versus if you said if you had like 3 5-acre.
Well,
right. Either
you say
a single parcel or no less than 3 3-5-acre parcels or 2 5-acre
right.
parcels.
Like
well, should we say the criteria is no residential?
Okay, no residential.
John, should we set one of the criteria is none of these parcels are residential?
In other words,
and not currently residential
not currently residential
or whatever. Is that you don't want to eliminate that, John?
No, I would agree.
Okay.
I had something funny in my head, but
okay.
Anyway.
Thanks for not sharing.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we're not going to exercise eminent domain on property, you know, property.
It wasn't voluntary.
Yeah, if there's like a huge thing with one little home, and then you go approach that. I mean, that's different. If it's like
but
10% of it.
But that's
right.
That would you'd have to be saying that there are 15 homes or,
right.
you know, and larger on acre lots that are willing to
it would probably have to be something next to another, you know, there's probably not any homes
right.
with 5 acres left. So
I mean,
maybe one or two large.
So not predominantly.
Right.
I don't think there are going to be a lot of these out there, guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we're putting a lot of thought on the criteria and all that, but there's just not going to be a ton of them. Where I might want to go is, would we be willing to try this again? Because I do know someone that has a lot of land in this town called the Park District that is not always being used. So would that be another option?
Well, are we talking about Sark?
Spring?
Are we talking about Spring Avenue?
No,
here?
I mean, there's, you know, there's,
I assume,
land out at Ackerman, right?
I mean, yeah, but I think you guys have been down that road before.
There's no room because softball has the lower Ackerman.
But haven't they bought?
What about you mean the Lennox?
A bunch of land that goes west.
No, that little space that they're waiting for people to get out at Lennox. That they're buying houses on Lennox, but that's not enough.
You can't cut down those trees.
Maybe only Lennox on the other side of the
road.
Ackerman Woods.
I don't have a lot of history with this property, but some of you might, Steve, you might have been here. I was in the Fast Signs store getting yard signs, and they had a sign for Glen Eyre. And I was told by the guy that owns the Fast Signs that they're trying to rehabilitate.
I don't think that's in the district.
Has that ever been
what's
approached?
Going on? I don't think it's in the district. It's too far west.
It's not too far west?
It's in 200.
Because it's by president. Okay.
Yeah.
They've been trying to do that for a
while.
Yeah, so
so
well, that, I guess, yeah. I mean, if you went the route of trying to find the district didn't go through all that.
Oh, we can check that criteria out again to see whether that's true.
What's the
blue? The very...
It would not be a neighborhood school.
But
anyway. But definitely North Glen is open.
What's out there.
Yeah.
Like the Menards thing I know about. Are there any other criteria?
Well, Dan raised the question of whether or not you'd want to make sure that they are larger. If they are multiple parcels versus a single parcel, is there a minimum size to the parcel that are going to be bundled together?
Like an acre?
Or larger, I mean, you know.
Yeah, like you said, you know, what is the list of parcels that are larger than 10 acres? And then you have a list. You know, if it's too small, then you say, okay, then we lower our acreage down.
Mm-hmm.
Or we see 2 5-acres are right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only problem would be if you were searching that way in a database and you had multiple 3-acre parcels next to each other, you're going to
Yeah, it might not be.
I think someone's got to look at that map. Probably someone who knows every inch of this area and goes, yes, no.
But you could say contiguous parcels of no less than 3 acres or something like that.
Yeah, okay. What's that?
2 acres.
I don't know why we're limiting
the intent is just the
ease
of procurement. If you're dealing with one owner versus multiples, mm-hmm. you know, thinking in terms of
that might be a criteria, multiple owners.
Maybe that's a better way
to say
the size of the land.
So limited. We won't put a number on that, just a limited number of property owners.
Should we make a criteria that addresses is preferable to purchase a property that's not currently on the tax rolls?
We can.
Is that out there already? Is that already on that list?
No.
It might be, you know, that's probably something they could pull up real easy and just tell us what the assessed value is. Or, I guess that's different than the tax bill.
Yeah, the assessed value on the actual payment.
So we might not put a criteria on it, just FYI.
It's more desirable or is preferable,
right,
to find a parcel.
Yeah, I mean, it's a column you can put next to it as something to look at.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule out putting it in a list.
Right. No, I just think you should say it's preferable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's our attendance boundary map there.
Do you guys care if it's on the other side of 355 or not?
It's probably not.
Well, if you can only get to it by going into Lombard and back over a bridge.
You gotta go over the bridge.
That one,
or Fairfield. Fairfield, is that what it's called?
Flowerfield.
What's the red? Is that the village limits?
There's the corporate limits, yeah.
Okay.
It's Flowerfield. Yeah, it's not in their district.
What
Lombard.
Yeah. You touched it, Bob.
That's the corporate limits right here, too. They annexed that.
Yeah,
and this has probably moved since then, too, right?
Now, for all the talk of putting in those sidewalks, people there might not want to pay village property taxes. They might not want sidewalks and like living where they are at, pay the taxes they do, just fine.
Well, but the whole annexation thing is not our gig.
Right.
We have no control over it anyway.
Okay, so the criteria that we would give to someone would be a minimum of 8 acres. Would not want it to be predominantly residential. We'd want to know what the current taxes were on that property.
And
limited number of property owners.
And the assessed value.
And the assessed value.
Which might be different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets taxed for it?
There may be exemptions on on the value to what they pay.
Okay, so basically about 5 criteria. We'll look for, I'm not sure who a local real estate person might be who would do that work for us, or whether there's a specialty field out there. I'm just not sure. We'll have to make some calls to see.
Okay.
Time frame for that, for us to be able to report back to you something by April 11th, you know, whether it's we finally found someone who's willing to do this task, or whether it's that.
Yeah,
I mean, you talk to someone, give an estimate, if they say it takes weeks to do it.
Then we'll report that to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll let you know that before April 11th. Okay. The other topic that you had some conversation about earlier in this process, and then we sort of dropped it, was the purchase of small parcels of land contiguous to our current schools and whether or not we would want to pursue that. We sort of let that drop. And whether or not we would want to pursue that, and if so, what criteria would you attach to that? And then finally, what would we do to fund this? But the first discussion, I think, unless you don't want to have that discussion any longer and hold on that piece until after some decisions are made, because it's not something we may pursue in the short term. Or
I thought the operating mode here was if you found something that you thought might be interesting, you'd let us know.
And there was another question, though, whether we should be actively pursuing or approaching, for rights of first refusal or something, agreements with owners contiguous to certain schools that we thought would be cheaper property, like Churchill primarily, right? Is
that
anything else?
Churchill
was pre
Large parcel.
Large parcel and pre-finance. Mm-hmm. Taking over.
Correct.
Discussion.
Correct.
And there was.
And I think both of what Bob and John have said are accurate. I think we said both of those things. I'm not sure we finalized mm-hmm. that that piece of it, or whether we said go ahead and knock on doors.
Mm-hmm. We're in a different place in our conversation than we were 9 months ago, 8 months ago, in that, you know, we've come. And please correct me, but my understanding is we've come as a board to the position where this long-term decision is about looking at as much opportunity, looking at this from an opportunistic standpoint. And so the idea that we may find out that there's homes that might be available, et cetera, to your point, Dan, you know, single owners versus multiple owners raises this issue up again, which I think is important. We want to provide enough latitude to whomever we ask to start to pursue this so that they can come back to the table and we can say yes, no, yes, no. So, we're, you know, we're just in a different place. The place that some board members were in 6-9 months ago was the economy won't allow us to have this conversation. And we're not there. And I'm not saying that the economy's completely changed, but we're just looking at this, again, from a more vision-based, further out, you know, short, mid, long perspective. So I'm feeling like we need to open that option up again.
I think we had talked originally there were two schools where it might be a viable approach. That was Churchill and Hadley. Mm-hmm. That the other schools, the properties surrounding our other schools, were probably cost prohibitive. You might get a parking lot. I mean, you might be able to get a piece of property.
Right, but Ben Franklin's the largest already. And
mm-hmm.
It's not
in need.
And just got a new parking lot, so.
I don't feel that we should exclude Forest Glen now, because I mean, we can look at it in terms of which parcels we would feel would be beneficial versus something across the street. You know, I don't know. But I would hate to see us eliminate it because we believe it might be cost prohibitive. And I just don't think that's the approach we should take. I'm looking at this, I guess I'm not necessarily asking to go knock on doors and find out people's intentions per se. But if there's a way for us to take a look and strategically look at our buildings and say which ones would we like the right of first refusal, then that's another way to I think strategically I would rather see us go down that path, because I feel, why would we take ourselves out of the game that we were never in? So at least if we're out there and it's a right of first refusal, and if something came up, it's our right to say, you know what, we're going to pass on this one. But if we're not even there, we don't even know. I mean, I'm thinking of Hadley right now, and there's, you know, a couple of spaces that are there. And so,
well, we may be in a position with the housing, although it's shifted a little bit. I saw foreclosures were way down in the state in this last term. But you know, we may be in a position to actually leverage some of the downturn in that people are looking or needing to downsize or whatever. And we don't know that. It's the professionals in the real estate community who have certainly a much better sense of that.
Well, there's two. To me, you guys threw out two questions. One is, should we look at property around our schools? I think our motive has always been, yeah, if it's something you see, tell us about it. But the second thing is go knocking on doors for first right refusal. So are we doing that or not doing that?
And my recollection was we were thinking about doing the right of first refusal discussions only at, I guess, Churchill and Hadley.
Now the reason I think you're right in saying let's not eliminate any of the schools, because that may be a possibility. My concern would be that if we don't identify a long-term strategy and, you know, a priority list, you might find yourself land barons owning, there's a house over here that's attached to Forest Glen, there's a house
over here that's attached to, and nothing
that's helping us.
Nothing that's helping us, and I agree. My suggestion is that we look at it, what is our, what, I mean, come up with a plan. We don't want to be land barons. We want to have a plan. Why do we want, you know, parcel A? What would help us if we had parcels A and B at one location? What would we do with it? What, and have a plan for it versus, you know, I want this and this and this and this. And like you said, if they come off checkerboard, what do you do with them then?
Mm-hmm.
But if we have a strategy and a plan, then I guess if, I feel it allows us to be proactive. It allows us to have some mm-hmm. more control over, again, we why we want these pieces of land. And, you know, I know many people think that it's not very smart of us at times to want a piece of property for parking. Parking is priceless around some of our buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know that the cost may seem high initially, but, you know, you can't get enough parking spaces around our buildings.
Especially some of the buildings that are critical for parking is such a premium.
Right. I know it doesn't sound great to be buying something just for the parking, but it's also something that to me is a proactive way of looking at it,
well,
long-term strategy.
May I throw out a suggestion? That part of the long-range plan could be conducting an analysis of each of our sites and potential properties, or the, you know, the viabilities of properties surrounding those sites, and what that could do to enhance the current footprint that we have, and then bring that plan back to the board, where you could then prioritize and say, okay, these plans work, let's start with this. You know, there could be some steps that you'd identify as being viable steps that we could take. And again, a long-term strategy, but not patchwork, as you said, Tara.
I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work for, I mean, is that something we want you to do from a Hadley or Churchill perspective and put the other stuff on hold, or do it all?
I guess I'd list
of priorities and everything you've got to do.
I guess I'd recommend the whole. If you're thinking about a master facility plan that's going to take you out 20 years, then it's a component, it's a chapter, so to speak, of your master facility plan that gives you a plan. The degree to which you enact that plan can be determined, you know, over the course of time and could be adjusted, but at least you'd have some sense of current recommendations, and the viability may change. You know, so what may have been a third priority becomes a first priority because of something that changes, but at least it would be identified, and it would be identified in terms of how might this land be used, whether it's for parking lot or... Because, if we're saying something like over at Forest Glen, we might say properties across Highland or across Elm might be used for parking, not for green space, because, you know, you don't want kids crossing the street to get to a playground.
I think that's a reasonable suggestion. I mean, I think it sounds, I mean, if in terms of your priorities, looking at it, I think that's a good idea, because I think it's important for us. This is a long-term master facility, 20, 30 years out. Look at our district, and, you know, we need to be able to say that we set this up for somebody else to be able to have these options as well.
And this becomes a part of our long-range plan, you know, the under Goal 2, Goal 6, in the new, Goal 6 in the new plan, which is our, you know, finance and facilities goal, I think. And
yes.
It is our last goal, yeah. You know, it would become part of the long-range plan. So by April 11th, would we have this done? No. I mean, this would be a longer, you know, a larger strategy in the long-range plan.
Can I ask kind of a tactical question? If you've done this kind of work in other districts or have colleagues that have done this, does it make sense to use a professional real estate person not in your district, but close to the district?
I don't know that I have an answer to that. I guess it would depend.
I'm thinking about how tight this community is.
Mm-hmm. That's why I should say it depends on the community.
Yeah. factory. I think that
you could search. I mean, I don't know that there's any. We could check through, you know, professional organizations. Are there people who do this work, you know, for schools in terms of searching? I don't know. But that'd take a little research on our part to see, make a recommendation, even probably on a realtor. So is there consensus around that we build this into the long-range plan?
Yep.
And that it's an action strategy that's not going to be done in 3 weeks? I mean, I appreciate that John said, you know, this is a lot of work, and it is. So mm-hmm. it would be a part of the long action plan. Mm-hmm. In the
Yeah, I think the feel of this in terms of you know, depicting what we're doing next is the sense of trying to, you know, look at the whole and the moving and those different moving parts, but not necessarily move something off the table, because this is a moving target and things are shifting, whether it's in the community or economically or whatever. So we want to be open to the opportunity.
In long range, it gives, I mean, it gives future boards at least and a document of what was discussed and what planning was done, and it gets some of that work done, mm-hmm. you know, for the future, whether people actually end up using it or not. And certainly fits in with your long-range vision.
Mm-hmm. Was there any artifacts from Dr. Barshinger's period in terms of land and other things?
The only one I remember that was the not one seriously considered was Ventura or whatever.
Not, well, I mean, real documentation.
Oh, you know,
what was it?
The Valley Produce Store.
Oh.
We actually looked at that too. Philosophical.
I have 3 boxes on
it. You do?
And okay. Facility. And there was something in that box about where Valley Produce is at. Mm-hmm.
It was the old Omni store.
Yeah.
Omni, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Ventura, right?
That's right. It was Omni.
That would affect not only property taxes but sales tax.
Not for Carroll Stream.
I think that's Carroll Stream there on the south side.
What's that? No, I think Valley's in our district.
Valley's in our district.
I thought Carroll Stream was south part of North Avenue.
No, if you look at that, we've got everything south of North Avenue except for Menard.
It's the townhomes that are west of there.
That could be
Carroll Stream.
That's Carroll Stream.
Yeah.
Okay, so may I synthesize where we're at right now? Because we really have gotten the physical work done, which is Spalding stays on the table, search for a larger parcel of land with some criteria that you've established, and build a strategy or a plan for how you might approach over time purchasing small parcels of land continuous to the schools we currently have. So the next topic for discussion before we actually conclude this portion of the agenda for tonight would be funding of parcels of land, and I think probably more specifically a large parcel of land, because if we're talking about smaller parcels of land, my guess is we would put into the strategy the plan. That part of the plan, we would put a strategy for funding in there, which probably would come out of capital development, capital projects money. Maybe it would come out of, you know, some other source. But I think the larger question is, how do you feel about funding, purchasing a large parcel of land, and what are the options that you would have to do so? Whether you'd use your fund balances, whether you feel that you have to go to a referendum to ask for the voters to purchase a piece of land. If you used your fund balances, would you put a limit on that? Or, you know, it gets to that whole fund balance kind of conversation. But
is that, I don't want to use the next board coming in thing, but until we know what the amount, you know, how much we're talking about, what our budget is at that point in time, you know, what we could or couldn't do. It just seems to me that...
A deferred conversation?
It seems to me. I mean, I have new board members. We're not going to buy anything between now and then. We don't even know if we're talking about $3 million or $8 million.
True.
It's kind of hard to answer that question. Tell you that specifically.
Okay. So you want to defer that conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. That was just part of the facilities recommendation.
I would just add one comment, and that is that's been a churning issue for us. And I said, I think my sense is philosophically, in comments that we've heard over the last few months, that you know, using part of the fund balance would be a would be an opportunity to work with the community in terms of a sense of increasing the fund balance and letting it sit there for the day fund, whatever the commentary was. So certainly philosophically, it's something I've heard this board say would make some sense.
So it's all an option. I just don't know what we're talking about, really.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
No, that's,
talking about hypotheticals.
In the end, it's a decision to be made by the next board.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's the question of, is it philosophically, is everyone on board with spending reserve funds on that use? This is the tie-in to the discussion we had at the end of one of our last board meetings. How much gets to the question of, well, what's an acceptable reserve balance? So if you're going to violate your criteria for that, which we don't have, well, we sort of have, well, we have, but it's not in policy, right?
Well, and this could be 3 years from now, so.
Right.
Who knows what our reserves are, or, you know.
It depends on how much dollars you're talking about. If it's $10 million and we have, what, 11 or 12? That's probably a no-go, right? We're not going to reduce our fund balance to $3 million, right? So it all depends on, I guess, what reserves you've got. And what your criteria, what your management point is on your reserves. And if you go past it one way or the other, how do you deal with that?
So since funding is really in the hands of the board, who would be seated at the time of the decision, it's more appropriate for that conversation to occur with the board.
It's not that far off. I mean, we're talking in hypotheticals, so until we have something concrete, you know, we need to have that at hand, you know, we're a month away from that.
Well,
2 months, May 2nd.
May 2nd.
You don't want to make it a hot campaign issue?
He forgot that that until May 5th.
Yeah.
Okay, well then, really, for this evening's conversation, next steps for April would mean that we'll try to bring back to you some information around the possibility of a realtor looking at large parcels of land in this area.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Do we ask this, I mean, are we going to ask a realtor to sign an NDA and all that stuff, or do we care?
Well, I don't think we'll be that far by April. I think what we would have probably worse would be some names, hopefully, some criteria that may be presented to us, and then you'd have to make some decision about that.
Well, I guess I'll ask the question differently. Does anybody care if, because you're going to have some names, you're going to talk to somebody. So, does anybody care if we talk to 5 real estate agents and we end up hiring one and the other 4 go off? I mean, does anybody care about that?
Well, talking about the project in general terms is different than the actual work product. And the work product, you don't want it out there, right? But just talking about the general criteria and what we're looking at.
So we don't feel
it's right here. It's on tape, so it's not a surprise for anybody.
We don't feel we would need anything at that point in terms of an NBA, right?
Not until you go.
Not until you hire them.
Yeah. John, I understand what you're saying, though. I mean, the concern is there.
But you're probably going to be looking at.
I don't know how much control you could really have.
You're probably going to be looking for someone who has 1 foot in commercial and 1 foot in residential, right? So.
Yeah.
They're pretty wide ranging, the commercial folks.
Okay. Sorry.
Good question. So on April 11th, is there anything besides the demographic study consideration, talking about whether you want us to conduct another demographic study and what criteria, new criteria you might be looking for, whether or not you'd want us to go to, you know, do a proposal, request for proposals on that, or just use CASARDA again. And then the process for determining how do you want to engage, how and when do you want to engage the community in a conversation about this? You know, to what's the scope of your decision making? Where do you want to be in your own decision making before you build an engagement plan? Did that make sense, Dan?
I didn't understand.
Yeah, at what point do you want to engage the community, if at all, and where do you need to be before you do that?
Engage the community in what? We've engaged for the past 5-6 years with committees and demographic studies and talk. I mean,
well, if you were to, you know, let's say you're going out and you're going out looking for a large parcel of land. So let's say you find something. Do you wish to make that decision then as a board, that that's the direction you're going to go, and then engage the community? Or do you want to say, okay, we've got Spalding and we've got the potential for a large parcel of land, do you engage the community then? Or do you wait until you actually have a building plan and engage the community? So at what point are you going to...
I would say option number two, just because of the standpoint of at least you have options. You just, you know, we go with a large parcel and then people say no.
Mm-hmm.
Versus at least you get a feel for which option. You know, versus just throwing all your money on one.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on, you know, what, you know, we had one went to referendum a couple of years ago. And
so that would be something for you all to think about before April 11th, and then, you know, how you might think about going about that. And then we'd, you know, we'd be talking probably about some kind of relative timeline for that, which would help frame our work plan on your behalf.
Well, my only comment would be, and we've had a little bit of conversation in public too, and that is that there's been, you know, a pretty significant amount of time between when this started and where we are now. I would like to see us capture that, compress it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and not have this drag out too long. You know, to John's point, you know, recognizing we're going to have a new board seated, you know, in another month or so. But I think the community deserves check-in milestone, you know, letting them know what's going on.
Well, and I would agree, because I think my concern is that we just keep regurgitating the same things and the same discussion that we've been having since the Blue Ribbon Committee in, what, 2002?
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, we have different set, you know, new family, you know, those 2002 people are probably in high school by now. And now you've got, you know, new waves of people who are finally coming to the table and coming up with things like, oh, did you talk to the Park District about possibly using Main Street? I mean, it's stuff like that's, you know, you're back to hearing some...
Put a history together.
The history part of it.
Yes,
Julie,
yes.
You know, using
the checklist.
Reminding people what the history is, but it's literally going through all the painstaking steps that have occurred over the years to get people up to speed as to why we're here today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that the shift in the conversation that we've all been on board with and aligns with the long-range plan is this is about defining educational programs and facilities that will take us into the next 10, 20 years around our educational programs. This is not, John, you said this the other night at the forum at Ben Franklin, it's not adding 3 or 4 rooms onto a building.
I'd be careful with that. The last one was not about that either. We talked about programmatic changes.
Mm-hmm.
What was significant about that was the shift of taking students out of buildings and into a new one.
Right, that was the neighborhood school concept, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, but I think what you're saying, this isn't just about building a new school and how, I mean, you know,
it's not just about housing.
It's not just about housing. It's about 21st century learning and moving our kids in that direction. I agree that, you know,
the 5-8 was about that too. Maybe it wasn't used 21st century learning, but
no.
It was programmatic as well.
But it was so, you know,
but there wasn't the research that was done behind
right.
what we've done now
mm-hmm.
in terms of
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, but that was like a incendiary. This is, in my opinion, humble,
mm-hmm.
not as. This conversation is really bound around something that, you know, we're all talking about in our business world, our jobs, colleagues, people in this community, and that is there's never enough technology. We need to get ahead of the curve. I mean, we have friends and neighbors that are living that every day, and as we discuss this, that resonates. I just sense that there's a different tone, potentially, that we can, you know, capture.
Could we, by the next, whenever, I don't know how long this takes, April 11th or the next board meeting, I don't know if you guys have, since we've only got one option right now that got a location on it, the Spalding site, I've always wondered, where does 600 kids at the Spalding site, or four sections, come from? You know, how far south of Geneva are we talking? How far west of Maine? You know, what, geocoding-wise, right now, where would 600 come from? Because, I mean, Forest Glen's less than 600? I mean, right?
527.
And it's got all of western, and, I mean, it's got that whole northeast quadrant. So I'm wondering, how would you populate Spalding out of that? And yet not have a kid one block away from Forest Glen going to Spalding. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But, again, I would agree with you that that's information we would want when we're making a decision. I just, to me, to do that kind of work right now, when we're out there looking for a large parcel, to me, we would ask for that work 8 months from now if we were now evaluating it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just seems premature to do that.
But it might speak to the viability of Spalding.
But that's not what we're
all it would do is eliminate it.
But we're
right.
Right.
Well, isn't that?
That's all, I'm saying, if you want to look to that and eliminate it,
it's our only option.
While we're doing the exploration, I think what people are saying is that may be premature. It probably is not something we could do in by Monday.
Just seems
because we don't have the software. We don't have geocoding software. So, do we?
No.
Yeah. So we would have to contract. Versatran has it. When we'd have to either contract our transportation company to do it.
But they don't all get bussed, I imagine, right? Some parents probably.
They have geocoding in the software.
Okay.
But
I would say premature. I mean,
it may be something we talk about with the demographic study.
Right.
You know, that it's a kind of a portion of that.
Because let's just say, for example, that we were able to buy this development property that's a mile from Spalding. Or let's say we buy something where, by Menards. I mean, that has a whole implication on who might go to a school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, but I think we still need to find the parcels.
Yeah, first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really then a comparison of, is it really better than what the option everyone says, let's look for something better. They might not find anything better. And then not even who goes to it, then you start looking, well, what are the demographics of those schools given the current populations, too?
And does
that become an issue?
Right. Yes.
Given, you know,
yes,
what's happened in other districts.
Okie dokie. Anything else?
That's it for this, other than we do have reason to go into closed session.
Steve, do you want to conclude the meeting? We have a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 We have to go to closed session.
Okay. Oh, I have to read why. Do I have reasons why? I can't do this on my script.
Good night, Sam. We have a reason to go into closed session.
May I have a motion to go into closed session?
I would like to motion that, Mr. President.
Do I have to read the reasons first?
Yes.
For the following reasons: the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. I have a motion to adjourn to closed session.
Motion, Mr. President.
Okay. Does anyone second the motion?
Second.
Who's in second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Now I'm going.